Let us pray. Our Father and our God, our hope is in Thee this morning, for our help cometh from Thee. Thy word says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. And we praise Thy name for the hiding place Thou hast given us in these days in which we live, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted in the Beloved. We praise Thy name for Thy word in such an hour in which we live. We can turn to the pages of Holy Writ and find written there that God, the living God, our Father and our Savior and our Comforter, is on the throne and that He lives. And He is our help and our hope in trouble in times like these. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Spirit who fills us and overflows us and takes Thy word home to our heart. We thank Thee that Thou canst be trusted, that Thou art the great I Am, that You change not, and that Thou art dealing and working according to Thy will. We praise Thee for this morning. Our Father, we confess unto Thee our sins. Oh, we do pray that You will deliver us from the sin of pride and unbelief that grips our hearts at times. We do pray that Thou wilt cleanse us, our Lord, from the coldness and deadness of our hearts, and that Thou wilt give us grace to humble ourselves before Thee. And we say, like Daniel this morning, unto us belongeth confusion of faces. Unto Thee belongeth honor and glory and power. We know that the Judge of all the earth doeth right, and we know that Thou makest no mistake. And so we wait before Thee this morning, that Thou wilt kindle the fire in our hearts, and that Thou wilt give us Thy Spirit to speak, an unction from the Holy Spirit, and Thou wilt help our many infirmities. Thou wilt give hearing ears and seeing eyes to each and every one of us this morning. And O our Father, we do pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray that Thou wilt give wisdom and understanding of this hour and of the times in which we are living. We do pray, our Father, that there will not be the cry of peace, peace, when there is no peace. For men need the peace of the soul. And we do pray that Thou wilt work. Be with our armies over in the Middle East. Lord, we just trust that Thou wilt be with them and work out Thy purpose. We trust Thee and look to Thee and cry after Thee this morning. Help us, lead us and guide us, and may we endeavor by Thy grace, as the time allows us, to put out the truth and the gospel and send it around the world. And may we not slack off in the things Thou hast called us to do as we labor in these terrible times. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As I said before, we read to you Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sure that you and I have both been concerned and have been following the events in the Middle East. As I've listened and as I've waited and as I've cried to the Lord, I have heard what our scientists have done and our men of wisdom and knowledge have done with their technology. And I have heard the delight of the men who are concerned about the shooting of the bombs and the accuracy and all of this. But I have waited to hear one voice that says, we should repent. We should humble ourselves before God. I've been waiting for one voice that would say that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their cry, I will heal their land, and I will come and visit them. I've been waiting to hear this. I've heard the Bible quoted, and I've heard much concerning Israel, but have not heard the cry of the hope that you and I should have in this hour. And that is the hope that's in the living God. And so I want to take my text this morning. Actually, I want to read you four of them. They all have to do with the same thought. And these have been upon my heart as they've come to me by the Spirit. The first one is found in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He means there that the name of the Lord, in all that that name means, in all of His glorious attributes, is the strong tower, or the dwelling place, or the hope, or the help, or the refuge that we run into. The righteous run into it and are safe. In Isaiah chapter 50, in verse 10, we read, and this has come to my heart with such power, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" Talking to those that fear the Lord, "that obey the voice of His servant, yet they walk in darkness and hath no light." And we walk in dark times. What are we to do? He said, "Let us trust in the name of Jehovah. Let us trust in the name of the Lord." Watch it. "And stay upon our God." Amen. Let us rest upon our God. Then in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace." Peace, 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 he says. "Whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now, what does the name Jehovah mean? And why should we trust Him? Well, when God appeared unto Moses in the burning bush and told him to go back to Egypt and to lead his people out of captivity and take them to the promised land, Moses asked the question, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee." Now I want you to keep in mind exactly what that expression "I am" means. The expression "I am" means that I was, I am, and I shall always continue to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am Jehovah. Malachi 3:6, "and I change not." I want this fixed in our hearts and in our minds this morning, that our hope in times of trouble, our hope in the times in which we live, these troublous times, these perilous times, when men's hearts are fainting, fearing, fear is taking hold upon what is happening upon the earth. In these times, we are to remember that the God of the Bible is the great I Am. The one who says, "I was, I am, and I shall continue to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not." Where do we go in times of trouble? On whose name do we call in times of trouble? And we're certainly living in perilous times. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are earthquakes in numerous places. The foundation of our society as we have known it in the past, practically completely destroyed. Chaos reigns in the financial world. All you got to do is read your newspapers. Chaos reigns in the financial world, the banks and savings loans. corporations and institutions that have been with us for decades are crumbling down. Greed abounds everywhere. Opposition in all strata of society around the world is getting greater and greater because of the lust for power and the lust for wealth. I mean, we face it. Where do we go in times of trouble? The whole world is in revolt against God and His Christ. The whole world is in revolt against God's holiness and His righteousness. The whole world is in revolt against the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness and humility and temperance. The whole world is against these qualities that God gives us, this fruit of the Spirit. What are we to do? What are you and I to do? Where do we turn? Where do we go? In the midst of all of this, what is the hope of the people of God? Well, our text tells us. Let me read to you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Stay yourself upon the Lord. Be quiet and know that I am God. Be still and look to me, he says. So my first point in all of this morning is this. Our hope lies in the sovereign God whom we serve and who is in control of all the things that are happening in the world today. Let's go into that and look at it. Men do not believe this, but the Word of God teaches it. That God is in control of all things, working out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of His own will. And it's the name of the Lord into the glorious attribute of His sovereignty in Christ that we run for our help and our hope and our consolation in such an hour as this. When men's hearts are faint in them for what's coming upon the world. Now the Word of God teaches that God is the only sovereign. He is the only King of kings and Lord of lords. The Word of God teaches us that His throne is in the heavens and His kingdom ruleth over all. He's on the throne. What has happened is men have thrown the Bible overboard. They do not look into it. They do not search it out. They do not want to hear the Word of God. But the Word of God is powerful. And it comes home to the hearts of our people. Let us remember that He who gave us salvation is the same God who upholds the world by the word of His power. The whole universe is kept by the word of His power. Our God told the great Nebuchadnezzar, whom this man in Iraq likens himself unto, and I read in the paper this week that he likens his genealogy back to Nebuchadnezzar, and that he rules and reigns over Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar did, and his name is written on the same brick that Nebuchadnezzar's name is written on, that's part of their society. Well, let's see what God taught him. God taught him, after he had spent 7 years as a beast in the field eating grass because of the judgment of God, and when he came to his senses, he said, I lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto me, what doest thou? That's the God we serve. And that's the God who is our hope. The God who ruleth in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, God is in control. God sits upon the throne. Nothing is done by man without God having ordained it according to his own sovereign will. We must understand this. We must believe this. Our hope and our help in times of trouble is in a sovereign God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. To continue to listen to what I did Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights for hours as all of this began to pour out would make one very depressed, would make one very angry, would make one very mad, would make one want to do something. And when we see all that could happen and all the consequences of all of this, if Israel got involved, if it becomes a full-blown world war, and they were talking about this, and I heard one man speak of the mind of this man, Hussein, and he described what a kind of a man he was. But I would have you to know this morning that this man has identically the same heart that I have. And I have the same heart that he does. And the only difference between this man and me is the distinguishing grace of God. Remember that. And that as I can do nothing apart from God's sovereign will, neither can he do anything apart from God's sovereign will. You know, we as a nation look upon what he has done and we call it all these atrocities. And we magnify his atrocities, and they are. But our finger does not first point to our own nation. What is a greater atrocity than killing 25 million babies in the womb in the last 18 years in this nation? What is a greater atrocity than that? Who's guilty? We can't point fingers. We can only ask God to take it home to our heart and to know that his heart is in the hands of God. He moves the hearts of the kings, the rivers of the water, and God has allowed this. We want to blame war on Satan, but the Scripture clearly teaches that God is the author of this. I want to read you one Scripture. I want you to get it. I want you to hold it and pray that God will take it home to your heart, to each and every one of our hearts. There is in Isaiah 45 the story of God taking a heathen king. And it was prophesied at least 150 to 200 years before King Cyrus ever came to the throne and dethroned the Babylonian regime, and the regime of Persia came in. Isaiah called him by name. He would be King Cyrus of Persia. And the Scripture even called him his anointed, because he was going to use him to deliver his people out of Babylonian captivity. So the Scripture says that he did. He came. He dammed up the Euphrates River, or the Tigris River. And they thought they were safe, but as it dried up, they were able to walk under the walls, under the gates that led to the city. And while Belshazzar was banqueting those many months, judgment came. And I want you to notice something. Verse 6 of Isaiah 45, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded myself, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Watch verse 7. I want you to watch verse 7. God said, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. And I create evil. I am the Lord that does all these things. Is God the author of sin? No. We are each and every one of us responsible to God for every one of our acts. But God is ruling over all. We have this picture so vividly given to us in Job. For God allowed Satan to do what he would to Job. But God overall said, first of all, do what you want, but touch not his body. And then the second time he said, do what you want, but don't take his life. And God ruled over all. And as you go through the Old Testament and read it, and this is the reason people hate the Old Testament and says, I live only by the New. I only know the God of the New Testament. I don't want anything to do with the God of the Old Testament. But the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New, and the God of the New is the God of the Old. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he allowed these wars. And he allowed wars to come to punish his people and to send them in search of him. He told Abraham that your people will be in Egypt for 430 years because the fact that the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites and the Canaanites are not yet full. And when it is full, I will let them go. And he gave a charge to Joshua, go in and utterly and completely destroy them. Is this the God you serve? Is this the God you know? This is the God of the Bible. He's a God of wrath. He hates sin. And judgment's coming upon this country and upon this nation, this world, because of sin. Men are wrapped in war today because of sin. Hussein's heart is no more wicked than Bush's heart. Or mine, or yours. Let us keep that in mind. Let us keep all of this in prospect. Our nation deserves the wrath and judgment of God, just as we do. I don't know when it was the last time you told God that you deserved His wrath. I don't know when the last time you told Him that you deserved Him to cast you into hell, but I did it even this morning. I deserve nothing. None of us deserve anything. People want peace that they might have prosperity and not be worried about anything. But the main thing is the peace and quietness of the heart before God. Now our God controls all nature. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord spoke. Read it. And this happened, and that happened, and that happened because God spoke. And the voice of the Lord did it. It was our God who did it. Our God is in nature. Our God controls nature. Our God controls the winds. He controls everything. This is the work of the Lord. Well, who was it when the British Army was at Dunkirk in World War II? Fiction to be annihilated as they came across the English Channel by the Air Force of the Germans and would have wiped them completely all out. Who was it that set a fog that day? The airplanes couldn't penetrate. They didn't have what we have today. It was God who sent it. When the Armada came, the Spanish Armada came to destroy England in the 16th century. And they came to push upon the England, the Roman Catholic Pope and the Church. That's what they came there for. And to conquer them. Who came with the mighty winds that destroyed that great host of ships? It was God who was in control of all of that. He's in control of every one He's in control of all things, of all of the elements. He's in control of everything. And I praise God for it. He's the one who gives the beasts their food. There's not a single sparrow falls to the ground without God taking recognition of it. He knows all things and He sees all things. He appoints all things. He was the one that brought the wind that drove the ship that Jonah was hidden in. He was the one that prepared the whale that might swallow him to take him to Nineveh. He was the one that appointed ravens against their very nature to bring bread to Elijah. He is controlling everything. He controls the hearts of men. Did He not say both in Exodus 5 and Romans 9 that I have raised up Pharaoh for the very purpose that I might show forth My power, that I might show forth My power? For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show My power in thee, and that My name might be declared throughout all the earth. Believe it, beloved. In the darkness of the storms and the troubles, we see today all things are working for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. And how do we know but that God has allowed all of this and purposed all of this, that He might get glory out of all of this in the salvation of sinners, His elect that are there and here and beyond, and God might bring them to repentance? How do we know that God has allowed all of this to show forth His power? Let me read it again. You believe the Word of God, don't you? Our hope is the sovereign God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So we run into this attribute of our living God. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show My power in thee, and that My name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and on whom He will, He hardeneth. And He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened this man's heart in wrath. He would not listen to anybody. He hardened his heart. Because it was in God's purpose and plan that our troops would be there. I don't care how much you revolt against that idea. I don't care how much you revolt. I don't care how many parades go on, people are on the streets against it all, and all of this sort of thing. I'm from my country. I would die for it by the grace of God. If it need be to defend it. But on the other hand, I think I'd be a pacifist. And if I had to go through it again, I would declare myself to be a conscientious objector. I really believe that. That's neither here nor there. But we do know that all of this is to no avail because God has purposed. We must keep this in mind. God is bringing His work to pass. Did you hear what we read out of Romans 9:17? I raised Pharaoh up that I might show My power and that My name might be declared throughout all the earth. Keep that in mind. All things are working together for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. I'm going to give you one more instance. Let's go to Isaiah 10. In Isaiah 10, we find in verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of Mine anger and the staff in their hand is My indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of My wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit,
He meaneth not so. It was not in his mind. Neither doth his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. But I am sending him. And when I send him and he comes back, and he begins to boast of his power and what his God has done, then I'm going to turn against him, and I'm going to say, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod shall shake itself against them that lifteth up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were the wood? No, I raise up and I bring down. I'm God. So then that reminds me of Jeremiah 9. I thought about this one. As I've heard so many, just elated at the success of our technology. Oh, they have laid that on strong, the success of our technology. And they're putting their strength in their technology. But listen to what Jeremiah 9 says, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. And what is it? That he understand and knows the living God, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what we should glory in. Not in our might. Our might is not in our armory. Our might is not in our armor. Our might lies in the living God. Our help is in the living God. Let us not glory in our wisdom. Ours is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. Let us not glory in our riches. For God can take them away in a moment. And how a nation who is $2 trillion in debt and its financial order in chaos, how it's going to carry on a war and expect to come out, only God knows what we're going to go through with in the days to come. Beloved, we could be in the days of the tribulation. We could be in the days of the loosing of Satan for that little season. We do not know. But we certainly see a foretaste of it. So what does he want us to do? He wants us to glory in this. Do we know him? Have we bowed to his authority? Have we bowed to the scepter of the king? On our knees before him, the knees of our heart. Have we bowed before him? Do we come to him humble, broken, crying that he would have mercy upon us? Lest we would glory in anything of ourselves whatsoever. Not our might, not our wisdom, not our riches, but glory in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And we can say deep in our souls, by the grace of God, I understand his way. I understand him because the revelation of Christ has come home to my heart by the Spirit of the living God. He has shown me myself. He has shown me my way. He has shown me the wrath that I abide under. He has shown me the Christ. He has shown me the weeping, dying, bleeding Son of God. He has shown me the blood. He has shown me that the only reconciliation that is possible between my soul and the living God lies in the atoning work in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know him? Do we understand this? Do we walk in his way and not in our own? I ask you those questions. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Safe in Christ.
And it doesn't matter what comes upon us. Now, it's one thing to believe the sovereignty of God, theoretically. It's another thing to know the sovereignty of God experimentally. And that is that when these times come, our hearts faint not because of the things that are coming upon the earth, but our hope and trust is in Him. And though chaos does come, and confusion does come, and all around us goes down, we can say, it is the Lord. The judge of all the earth doeth right. Is not this what Abraham had to come to when he heard of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? As he cried, he said, the judge of all the earth doeth right. We might not know what is being done. Joseph's brethren did not know when they sold him into Egypt and gave him to those Ishmaelites what God was going to do. Neither did Joseph. He could say years later, when it all came together, you did it out of evil. God did it for good. Beloved, we can look back and see, if we're the children of God, that everything that has happened to us, God has meant good. God has done it for good. He has brought us there by the work of God. We might not see it. We might not understand it. We might grope in the darkness for the answer to so many questions and so many things. We don't have to understand what God is about to do. All we can do is say, I know this one fact. The same God that was yesterday is the same God that is today, and He'll be the same God tomorrow. I didn't quote to you the latter part of Malachi 3:6 when I quoted it a while ago, but let me quote it to you. He said, I am Jehovah, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And if He would change, we'd be consumed in a moment. But He cannot. He will not. He that loves us, as it said there in John 13, is the one who loves us unto the end. Having loved His own, He loves them unto the end. There is no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as an untimely death. All things are in the hands of the Lord. And He's working all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, I could go on. I could spend hours and give you scripture after scripture to support all of this. But what does our hope lie in? It lies in a sovereign God. But who is this God? Is He a God of wrath? Is He only a God of wrath? Is He only a God of war? Is He only a God of destruction? Is He only a God who punishes and shows no mercy? No, He's the God who Himself came down in the person of His Son to die the death that we should die. That's what always amazes me as I meditate upon it. God will not send a soul to hell at first He had not gone there. He did not die for all men's sins, but He tasted death and hell for all men, for all of His people. And this sovereign God, who is a God of war, who is a God of wrath, who will punish sin, who said that He is angry with the wicked every day, if they turn not, I will whet my sword, that the instruments of death are prepared to receive it, and hell has opened her mouth to receive those that are coming. The same God. It's a God that holds out and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what we need, rest for our souls. It's what mankind needs, is rest for the soul. Peace in the soul. Quietness in the soul. We hear those words, that familiar verse in John 3:16, for God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's our hope, in the sacrifice of God Himself in the person of His Son. He came in the midst of chaos and ruin. He came down into this earth among sinful men and took upon Him the form of sinful flesh without sin. He took that body, He nailed it to a cross, that He might pour out His wrath on that body. And that body, that man, Christ Jesus, would pour out His soul even unto death. And His soul would become an offering for sin. This is the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible that says, I call you to be reconciled unto me through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I stand in Christ's stead, crying unto you, be reconciled unto God. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And then he reminds us that God made Christ sin for us, who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our hope lies in Him. Our hope lies in His work. Our hope lies in His intercession within the veil. Not one thing we can plead of ourselves. Not one good work can we bring. Not one other hope is there outside of the blood, the righteousness, the person, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this? Do you believe this? This is our hope in these days of chaos and confusion. I showed you the sovereign God. I have said what the Scripture says, that the name of the Lord unto the righteous is a strong power, and they run into it and are saved. We come hiding, fleeing. And amazing to me as I've listened, how they've interviewed a lot of teachers, school teachers, and little kids across the nation of what effect this was going to have upon them. You know, we didn't have that in World War II. I was 16 when it started in 1939. We had no television. With all this stuff brought into our homes and having to look at it day after day after day after day after day and see all of this going on. We heard about it on the radio. We saw it in the newspapers. But after the extent of the news that we had, it wasn't coming to our homes over the TV constantly, constantly. And the effect they say it's going to have upon our children. And already calling in psychiatrists to deal with this problem. But brethren, who we need is Christ. We need to flee to Him. Our help and our hope is in Him. One other thing I'd like you to remember. I want you to keep it in mind. I want you to hear our Lord's words in Luke 13. Turn there with me. I want you to see it in your Bible. Verse 1. Luke 13:1. There were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't think it can be put any plainer. Are these the only sinners in the world over there? And judgment is coming because
No. Except you repent. We're all sinners. We want to keep this in mind, that there must be brokenness of heart before God. God in this is calling us to prayer. He's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to humble ourselves before Him and to pray that out of this will come the glory of God. It will. But we're to pray for this and to pray for the salvation of sinners in this hour. That God will uphold and lead and guide. Let me quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. Whether you think it applies to us or not, it's in the Bible. It says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land, I will forgive their sins. And God's calling us to repentance. God's calling us to humble ourselves before Him. God is crying for a heart searching. God's crying for a heart searching. A brokenness. As we brought out to you last Sunday morning on self-examination. But I want you to read this next broadcaster that comes out. That's the last Sunday's message came out of that. Every article God led me to read. It's going to be in the broadcaster. We're going to start printing it next week. We get the next. Is on this very subject. I've never had anything search my heart, self-examination. That's why I preached on it last Sunday. And this is what we need. Because judgment has fallen doesn't mean that they're worse than we are or we're any better. We need to repent. We need to seek the Lord. What are we to do? We are to remember what He said. I am the I Am. I change not. All right? Just two brief thoughts before we close. You and I should be more concerned for the spiritual battle that we have to fight against Satan and the powers of darkness more than the war that is going on. Because there's a warfare. I'm talking to the people of God. We would be more concerned that we put on the whole armor of God and to fight. Not that we shouldn't pray for the situation. Not that we shouldn't pray for our nation. Not that we shouldn't pray for our leaders. We are commanded or instructed to do this. Pray for mercy. And pray Habakkuk's prayer. God, oh my God, in wrath, remember mercy. You're pouring out your wrath, but remember that you are a merciful God also. But to remember that we're in a warfare. We're not to slack up in our fight against the evil one and against the principalities and darkness and the things that are around us. Let's not lose sight of that. And the other thing I want to bring home to your heart is this. Will you hear me? Let us not forget the charge that God has given us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How much time we have left, I don't know. But the doors are still open. The word can still go forth. And we are to be concerned of the responsibility of living a holy life and walking in a godly way and to send forth the truth by life and by lip and by heart. And with every means that God would give at our command, that mankind will hear the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our duty. We're duty bound
We're children of God to put out the truth, to speak the truth, to live the truth, to preach the truth, to teach the truth, to walk in truth. John said, I have no greater desire than that my children walk in truth. And beloved, it's our responsibility, and God has given us the means to put out the printed page. I wish that you could get all the telephone calls that I do. You could listen to every one of them as people call in, as people ask for help, as people thank God for the printed page that's going from this place. We read you the letter last Sunday night of this prisoner out yonder in California who wrote and says, I'm 18 years of old, 18 years of age. I know not where to turn or what to do or what's going to happen to me when I get out next year from the prison. Tell me, help me, show me. Will God have mercy upon me? We've got to continue to send the word out. Let us not forget in all of this, in spite of what's going on around us, we still have the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We do not know how much longer we got. But God could tarry to all of us would be going into eternity before He comes, before He winds it up. I don't know. I'm quite certain that men have lived in other generations and other centuries when they felt that this was it. This was the end of it all. And that God's work was over and finished. We don't know the mind of God. But as we see and look at these things which are so vividly pictured in the book of Revelation, we can't help but believe some way and somehow that we're close. It could be in the days of the loosing of Satan for the little season, so we must be about our Master's business. Well, did you hear my text? Did you understand it? Did God write it upon your heart? He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Stay yourself upon God. Let your heart and eyes be upon Him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind and understanding is stayed upon Him, because he trusteth in Him. That's where God wants our hearts and our minds to be. As we look away unto Him, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know what else I could say, except that I believe that God gave us His Word for this morning. I believe He led us deliver it in His Spirit. I believe He's going to use it. You pray that God will write it upon each and every one of our hearts, and ask Him that as it goes out next Sunday at this time over the air, that God will use it for His glory. Will you? And I ask you something. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? As I pray for you, will you ask that God will give wisdom and understanding in this hour as never before? We need to be acquainted with our times, and we need to be acquainted with the power of God.